And welcome to Noongar Radio and Law Matters for another fortnight, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Jodie Hoffman with you for the next hour. I hope you can stay with us. Got a big show, and I know that we're already in June 2013, but we're going to focus on a few of those big events that happened during May. What an absolutely huge month for footy fans, with the Indigenous Round towards the end of the month and Reconciliation Week, the anniversary of the Mabo decision, a whole lot of stuff, and including the 1967 referendum anniversary as well. Lots to talk about. We'll be chatting with Dennis Eggington, CEO of the ALS, and a little later in the program having a chat to Betty Campbell. Betty is the Community Legal Education Officer at the ALS, celebrating her birthday today and joining us on the program to talk about some really exciting CLE workshops that are coming up in the north of our state in a couple of weeks' time, and also an introduction to the Aboriginal Legal Service session for anyone in Perth to come along and find out about our job. So you're on the Law Matters radio show. Good to have your company for another fortnight. The Aboriginal Legal Service brings you this program every second Wednesday between 11 and 12, and we're repeated on Sunday nights. And going to have a chat now with ALS CEO Dennis Eggington. Welcome to the program, Den. How are you going?
Good, thanks, Jode. I'd like to just say a very special hello to all of our listeners this morning, countrymen out there. Coming into the radio station this morning, you know, we were greeted by the staff here at Noongar Radio, and of course Wayne Binder was there, but Michelle as well, Michelle Wilson, Old Flames repute, and one of our great broadcasters said I had a naughty face on. So if I've got a naughty face on today, then I'd like to say hello to all them naughty Noongars down there in Albany listening in today on Coolbardie Wangani. Great that you guys are getting a radio up and running. You'll notice a big difference once you can get on and talk about issues facing the community. Bit of a challenge now for our Aboriginal Legal Service office in Albany and the staff there to contribute to that radio program if they can. But well done, Albany Mob, and it's good to be able to broadcast to you today live and listen to our program as well.
We're talking on the way over, Den, about it's halfway through the year. It's phenomenal that it's already June, but what an absolutely huge May we've just celebrated. I know that you were one of thousands who were fortunate enough to head off to the MCG for Dreamtime at the G, the big Indigenous footy round that occurred over the 24th to the 26th of May. Tell us about the vibe in Melbourne, because I know that it's footy crazy over there, which is huge, but it's also the whole city comes alive with places like Federation Square and the big screen and people just milling around and seeing what's happened. What was it like being there?
Look, it was special. There's no doubt about that. I had a bit of a bad seat though. One little supporter was sitting behind me, kicked me in the back all throughout the whole match. But I mean, 90,000 people at the G. It's just that feeling is just something that's incredible. Every seat filled, people cheering for their teams. All that entertainment that went on. The elders dressed in their possum skin coats. It was just magnificent. And you know, starting off with Michael Long and the original walkers from Federation Square up to the G, I was just running into people who I knew all over the place. So it was really, really good. And, yeah, I thought us mob loved our football, but I tell you what, them Victorians love their football too.
And it's interesting, isn't it, because I know that a lot of the clients who access the services of the ALS here in WA are coming to us with concerns about racism, lodging complaints about discrimination. What a shame that the weekend was soured with such prominent racial slurs with regards to Adam Goods in particular.
It just shows how complicated this racism really is. You know, we've got this old colonial racism, which is terrible, horrible racism in your face racism, where, you know, someone will, you know, old Noongar, he won't work in an iron lung type of racism, where you know it's left over from the old colonial days, but there's this other subtle racism that sometimes people don't even realise that they're doing something wrong. And I think that you've just got to walk in someone else's shoes So if you're offending someone else, then you know that it's racist. You might not think it is, or you might think that because you hang around blackfellas all your life and mix with Aboriginal football players like Eddie Maguire and do the right thing by Eddie Maguire, that you're not being racist by saying the things you say. But, you know, when you offend, you know, our great sports people and Aboriginal people in general, then you are being racist, and it shows how complicated and how incredibly weaved racism is in our society. And I think it's going to be a very difficult job to try to get it out. We have to make a very concerted effort, not just in football. I know football's made the lead with it, and of course we've got racial vilification laws, but you know, there needs to be more effort across the general community to step out racism.
Must have come some way over the years, Dan, if you turn back the clock to the Long Walk, the Bridge Walk in Sydney, which was just over 20 years ago. There's so much goodwill within the non-Indigenous community in terms of trying to get a greater understanding into Aboriginal people, our culture. Those years you can't wipe away either, can you? Because we certainly have come a long way with regards to general perceptions of what people think and know now that they didn't know then or didn't have access to education as much as today.
Yeah, but I think that the real problem for this country is that we know what it has meant to us, and it's been a detrimental effect, you know, having our country stolen and taken from us, and, you know, people have got very, very wealthy. The wealthiest people in the world come from Australia, come from our budger, and our budger has created that wealth for them. But when you challenge a settler society and challenge everything that they hold true and value as a part of what they've created. I mean, you know, they've created this great southern land, a land that is second to none in the world, and it's a first world nation, and it's got a quality of life that is just, you know, people are flocking to come to this country. So our history challenges that legitimacy of all of that, and then it becomes really difficult because people might not want to be racist, but they might not also want to acknowledge that their privileged position in society, their privileged place that our dispossession has given them, is due to that dispossession, not hard work by their ancestors, and that's when it becomes difficult.
We see evidence of that all the time, don't we, when, you know, you're working in areas such as stolen wages and all of the hard work that's gone into the land, and where's the rewards for our people, hey?
Yeah, blowing in the wind. Absolutely got nothing for all of that hard work, forced labour, standing in cowgunna and stuff to warm your feet, and all it's really meant is that, you know, a very rich and wealthy economy like WA continue to just down us all the time. I don't know what it is. I don't know why this country can't have the moral and ethical fabric to sort some of these issues out. They're long-standing issues, and maybe we can deal with racism and stuff if, you know, if they taught the contribution that Aboriginal people made to this new country, not just to the old Australia, but to the new Australia, and the work and labour that we put in to make it, you know, a true big nation in the world today. If people grew up learning that contribution, I'm sure that people would have a different view of the world.
How important do you think it is to continue to talk about stolen wages, our stolen generations?
Well, none of it has been dealt with in a real way, and I'm not just talking about reparation for those people who were affected. Not that anyone who got stolen programs through stolen wages, redress programs, or any of those have got anything that they deserve. But, you know, that's still unfinished business. But it, you know, people deserve proper reparation personally for what happened to them. And, you know, the country has still got, this state has still got monies that are easily identified that was taken from people that should be given back and at today's rates. But then it is about rewriting history. It's about challenging the colonial state and the way that this country was founded. And just recently, of course, we had an example where the governor said that we had a constitution that wasn't built on revolution and bloodshed, and And in a way, he was just expressing a view about other countries where there's been civil wars and riots and revolutions to gain a democracy. But how easy is it to forget about the terrible atrocities that allowed people to come into this country? And it's really only been by the taking of our country and the disposition of Aboriginal people, removing our mob from country, that has allowed that to happen. But, you know, we've still got a lot of time ahead of us. I know that you wanted to talk about the recent death of Mr. Yupaninga. And Yunupingu, sorry, and he, you know, his call for treaty, and so the country's still got time to address some of the really big picture items, and there's always hope. So I suppose since the walk across the bridge, which you originally asked, there has been a lot of goodwill, but you know, when you look at those pictures of you know, Sydney ladies for recognition, you know, constitutional recognition, you know, they're all in the 70s and 80s, and they're all blue rinse sent from Vaucluse and places like that. You know, they're not the heartland of the western suburbs, you know, people sitting out there talking about Aboriginal affairs and where Aboriginal people should be in this country. And so, yep, I acknowledge that lots of good things have happened, but we've still got a long way to go.
This is Law Matters on Noongar Radio, 100.9 FM in Perth, and g'day to all the mob down in Albany as well. Jody Hoffman and Dennis Eggington with you for this hour, and do stay tuned. We're going to be talking more in a moment. You are listening to Noongar Radio, and it's the Law Matters radio program brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. Dennis Eggington is in the studio with us this fortnight, and just talking about a whole range of things and doing some catch-up after such a busy month that May was. And we're talking about being in Melbourne and at the footy. Well, I wasn't there. Would have liked to be there, but watched it on the telly for sure, and it was just an amazing thing to see, the sellout mob at the G, and what a huge weekend. But Dennis, back in Perth now, and just talking about a few current issues that are going on. One thing that did happen towards the end of last month as well that we cannot go unmentioned is Sorry Day, 26th of May, fell on a weekend this year. I know that in Perth over recent years the crowds have been enormous because I guess a lot of schools come along and pile the kids onto the bus and come in. Didn't have as many people this year because of the fact that it was on a Sunday, but certainly doesn't diminish the importance of such an important day in recognising our stolen generations, hey?
No, not at all, and I think that yeah, it was just unfortunate because the school kids love coming there. You know, you see a lot of the kids in their school uniforms being proud to be, you know, Noongars, or proud to be Aboriginal people from different parts of the country, and you know, they bring life to their school when they come there, and the guest speakers and things. But that's just the way it is. But you know, it was timing, and we can never forget the stolen generations, like we can't forget, you know, the history of the country. We cannot allow the country to ever forget about our stolen generations. The difficulty we have is that, of course, the effect of stolen generations is intergenerational, and we see that at the Aboriginal Legal Service all the time, and families are still suffering from it, never been properly, you know, recognised of the trauma that they went through, plus, of course, the proper reparation. And, you know, you can buy headstones and you can have counselling sessions, but you know, when a country fails its duty of care to its citizens, then that is a real need for proper process to happen. So look, we will continue to support you know, Jimmy Morrison and everyone with stolen generations and Sorry Day, and maybe one day the sorry will equate out to something substantial for our people and for this country. But in the meantime, let's hope that Sorry Day doesn't fall on a weekend again, because I know those school kids love coming along.
Yeah, they do. Hey, the start of June marked the anniversary of the Mabo decision as well. What a huge few weeks. 1992, Dennis, what were you doing in 1992 when the Mabo decision was handed down?
Well, hanging around Perth. 1992, working for Aboriginal Radio possibly, maybe with the Education Consultative Group and all those wonderful people that have been involved in Aboriginal education over the years. But it was a great day, and once again, you know, lots of expectations and you know, no one ever thought that the country would go into almost civil war over the rights for our peoples to be recognised, and that's exactly what happened with, you know, the mining companies and running campaigns, and eventually with the support of Brian Burke, Bob Hawke backed out of a national land rights agenda, and Mabo went ahead with very minimal community support outside of our community, and John Howard then really wrecked it all, trying to diminish the rights of our people, you know, there's been this ongoing battle to change the native title legislation that puts the onus not back on us to prove who we are and where we come from, but for government and others to disprove that, and I think that the whole issue of land rights is again being wound up again by the sovereignty movement. You know, people are now actively involved in talking about the self-determination processes in the 70s. You know, people who led those movements like Gary Foley and others, and they, you know, they're really trying to generate a whole new younger generation of our community to understand self-determination and what was being asked for in a national land rights movement. So it's, you know, comes and goes in cycles. Sorry Day is something that I think is a catalyst for a whole lot of debate and discourse around our rights as First Peoples.
When you think about Mabo back in 92, that was a year after the release of Treaty. Very sad news in the last week, the passing of Yothu Yindi's frontman. It was a great time, if you go back to the early 90s, of social reawakening, wasn't it? An enormous song that made people think about this country differently, didn't it?
Oh, well, we had Beds Are Burning by Midnight Oil, you know, It's Their Land, Give It Back, Treaty Now, and there was just this wonderful, wonderful feeling that we're on the cusp on a new era. And John Howard got into government, and we had 10 years of complete conservatism, and it wasn't just us as First Peoples that copped a hiding, it was everyone, including asylum seekers, boat, everyone. This country went into a decade of real conservatism that hasn't been able to be turned around. But it was a wonderful, wonderful time, and you know, I would think that if Yothu Yindi's lead and front man left us a legacy. I mean, he's left an education legacy, a music legacy, but the legacy, they're ours, they're for us. The legacy for Australia is, well, let's get behind this whole idea of getting to a settlement. Call it treaty, call it whatever you want, but let's get it finished. Let's get it out of the way so that we can move on.
Yeah, very sad news. You're listening to Law Matters on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM, and you're with Dennis Eggington and Jodie Hoffman on the Law Matters program. This is the Law Matters radio program. Dennis Eggington is in the studio with our CEO of the Aboriginal Legal Service. Den, the young fellas are maybe going to be released from Haikia later in June or July. This whole saga began back in January following the incident there, which saw young people, juveniles, removed from a child facility and placed into an adult facility. It's incredible to think that 6 months has passed since then, isn't it?
Once again, you know, January, we're in June, and 6 months ago, seems like only the other day, I was coming back from Mandurah after doing a bit of crabbing down there, that all of these police cars were going down the freeway, and my youngest son and my nephew were in the car, and we actually thought World War III had started. There were that many Monarchs on the road, and they were screaming down the road, car after car after car, and I actually thought that there was something quite, well, I suppose it is very serious what happened, but you know, I thought everyone's life was in danger. So was the reaction, but I'm feeling that it was a catalyst in some way, because I have seen a renewed energy around doing something about our young people being incarcerated. And, you know, for the first time we're hearing good things coming from government and government departments about we have to do something about this, and people are wanting to know more about diversion courses and intervention courses and prevention courses. We've had them all the time, and everyone who's listening down in Albany will know about Eugene's wonderful project out at Nowanup, and it is promoted, but it's never got the energy from government to put resources in, and I think that will change. So Eugene and all your mob down there, if you're listening in, I think that we're on the verge of having an effort put into our own community services to help divert our young people out of the justice system. As far as the young fellas out at Hakea, I just hope they hurry up and fix up what needs to be fixed up, and that the problems that led to Hakea are dealt with, because, you know, you just can't have lots and lots of young kids in prison with not enough people to look after them when they're locked down and locked up for 23 hours a day. Temperatures are 40 degrees plus, no air conditioning. That's just appalling and can never happen again.
The Chief Justice, Wayne Martin, dismissed the landmark challenge against the jail authority's response to that emergency and said that the environment at Hakea was clearly less than optimal, but found that the decisions involved in shifting the juveniles were legal under the Young Offenders Act in the context of the limited options available. It occurred on the 20th of January, and from what we've been made aware of just through media reports and stuff, is that they're due to be returned to Banksia Hill either late this month or early July. So that'll be a good day, won't it?
It'll be a great day. I'm not confident that that timeline will be reached, but like I said, the damage has been done and lessons should be learnt, and you know, you just can't continue to lock our mob up or lock young people up in general at the rate that this state does. It's not in the best interest of those young people. Certainly not in the best interest of society. It doesn't make our society any safer. And, you know, lots of those kids are on remand. Lots of them are in there for trivial offences. And I'm not talking about people who seriously offend, you know, assaulting people viciously or commit the higher end of terrible crimes. I'm talking about the vast majority of those young kids who should be diverted and given opportunities to turn their lives around. I mean, after being in this job here, Jody, for a decade and a half, you know, I think the best thing that I could say to our young kids is don't allow the system to grab hold of you and get hold of you. Once it has, it won't let you go. And to get your life back on track where you're living a free life, a healthy life out in the community, you know, doing the things you want to do, To turn a life of being locked up around to achieving that is such a hard job. And my hat goes off to people like Eugene and others who try to do lots for our young kids to keep them out of the system. But in the end, I think we have to send a strong message. Don't get caught in the system in the first place. I know that's hard when you're over-policed and you're being harassed at every corner. You know, you walk down the street and you're pulled over and all these sorts of things. But we've just got to be smarter. It's good to be a warrior. It's good to be a freedom fighter. But you can't be a warrior and a freedom fighter from inside of our lockups. You've got to be outside to be able to achieve the rights that we deserve as First Peoples. And our younger people have got to pick up the fight, and they can't do it if they're sick or they're locked up.
A couple more things that we're going to chat about with Dennis Eggington before we meet Bethany Campbell, who is our Community Legal Education Officer. Bethany's going to tell us about some workshops that are coming up both in Perth and Kununurra, and hoping all your mob in Perth can come along and And meet some of our staff in a few weeks' time and find out all about the role of the ALS. And it's expanded a lot over the years and probably offers a whole lot of services these days that you may not be aware of. So do stay tuned. Betty will bring us up to date on that very, very shortly. Dennis, before we say see you later to you, Congress. Email's been flying around left, right and centre about the National Congress of Australia's First Peoples, elections on, a whole lot of stuff happening. Can you just give us a summary of where things are at with the National Congress? You're a director to director of Congress.
The National Congress has reached its second year of being in operation, and that means that half the delegates, 20 delegates in each of the three chambers and half the board, including the two co-chairs, have to step down and either be re-elected or someone else will run and be elected for those. Just encourage everyone to continue to support Congress. It's clear that we haven't got a unified national voice, and I think Congress is quickly achieving that. I think Congress has got a great future for our mob, and I think Congress has a great future. It's already now a part of the history of our country, and its measure of success will be whether or not we get behind it or not. If we don't, Congress will go down. If we do, Congress will have a place and we'll have a voice nationally, a unified voice, and that's what it was there for. So, yeah, just encourage people to get involved.
All right. Before we say see you later to you today, a very big and important community meeting took place a couple of weeks ago at Dumbartung at the Clontarf site, Manning Road in Perth. You were at that meeting, as were hundreds of people. Mm. Important stuff.
Yeah, hundreds and hundreds of people. Which shows how much emotion and how much people are wanting to make sure that the terrible, terrible and tragic levels of suicide in our community, that something's done about it. A small delegation went to the Premier after that. I just went as an observer just to support my brother Robert, but there was a letter given to the Premier, and you know, you just hope that the Premier accepted what Robert was saying, and that there will be resources put into our community to help people who have suffered suicide to help with the process afterwards, and put in some preventative programs where those that have been through it are the people who can actually help our community with this terrible, terrible tragedy. So that's all I wanted to say on that, Jode, is that, you know, it's very important that that the community get behind Dumbartung and support Dumbartung over this terrible, terrible tragedy that's happening before us.
All right. Dennis, thank you for joining us on Law Matters today. It's been a while. It's been a busy year, yeah, but good to touch base on a whole range of issues.
Yeah, and I'm going off to see Geoffrey Michael, because I tell you, I'm going to ask him, has he had his flu shot? I've had mine, and those needles are very, very important. Well, I'm going to go see, make sure Geoffrey's had his as well.
This is Law Matters. Coming up next, Betty Campbell, Community Legal Education Officer with the ALS. Stay tuned.
Hey, Janine, did you hear that old auntie's got breast cancer?
Yeah, lucky she had a mammogram and found it early. Have you had one?
Yep, every 2 years since I turned 40. It's part of my women's health check. What about you?
Yeah, every 2 years I have my free mammogram. It's not nice, but you got to look after yourself. No one else will, I know.
True, girl, it might be a bit shame, but you got to do it. For a free mammogram, ring 13 20 50 to make an appointment. It's not shame, it's looking after yourself. This is a community service announcement from Noongar Radio.
Some great community service announcements coming out through this radio station as well. Important stuff, and good that it's getting out to our communities in the right way. Welcome to the program. Birthday girl Betty Campbell has joined the ALS team a few months ago, headed across the Nullarbor from Adelaide, but Darwin's originally where she's from, and I'd like to welcome her to the program again. Betty Campbell, how are you going?
I'm pretty good, Jody. How are you?
I'm very good. You're running around the office this morning with some balloons. We're
yes.
getting some more promotional items in time for NAIDOC Week coming up in July, and some country workshops that you're going to be heading off to present. Really good, getting community legal education out to community. That's what it's about, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, really exciting, actually. It's my first trip deep into the north, so pretty excited about that. And we're going up with a solicitor from our civil unit as well, so that'll be good. We'll be running a couple of clinics, one in Wyndham and one in Kununurra. So the Wyndham clinic will be on the 12th of June. And the Kununurra clinic will be on the 14th of June. So that'll be pretty much an all-day thing. Just come along, and if you want some free Aboriginal Legal Service goodies, then we've got some of those. We've got some balloons and some bubble mixers and some different stationery. So that'll be exciting. And our whole pamphlet range is coming with me. So that'll be exciting. And, yeah.
And, yeah, visiting the north of the state. So anyone listening, if you know anyone in Kununurra or Wyndham, do tell them about these workshops. One's on a Wednesday, one's on a Friday in a couple of weeks' time. Talking to people about racial discrimination and what their rights are, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, how to lodge a complaint, there must be a lot of people who are looking forward to hearing this info.
Yeah, one of the most common complaints that comes through our department is racial discrimination in various different avenues. Sometimes it's from employment, sometimes it's from trying to get accommodation, sometimes it's from dealing with people in authority, sometimes it's police complaints, sometimes it's, you know, discrimination in your housing. There's a whole range of different avenues that, you know, Aboriginal people are discriminated in, and it's so important for Aboriginal people to know that there is an opportunity for them to stand up and say, no, it's not okay. And hopefully these clinics will teach people how to do that. So, you know, provide a better understanding of what is discrimination. You know, it's more than just what people say to your face. So that'll be really exciting. I'm really looking forward to that. The Wednesday clinic is from 2 to 3 p.m. and the Friday is from 1 to 2 p.m. So that'll be good. Come along to the either Now Hour in Wyndham or the Ord Valley Aboriginal Health Service in Kununurra.
Yeah, and it's good because, I mean, our staff all over the state are so busy with daily court matters. It's great that there's been just this time set aside to run some community workshops, clinics, talk about a whole range of stuff. And I know that some of the things that are on the list to be discussed by Sarush Razi, one of our civil unit lawyers, is inquests and discrimination, police complaints, racial discrimination, human rights and civil matters, compensation for victims of crime. But you can bet your bottom dollar there's going to be a whole other range of topics that, as people want to know information about stuff or with regarding to their own circumstances, there'll be a lot of questions that day. It's great.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a civil focus to try and get people to bring some of their non-criminal issues to the forefront of what's going on. So it's really important that people know that the ALS as a service is bigger than just criminal law. We are there to help you out with your other legal issues as well.
All right. Look, Betty, since you started with the Aboriginal Legal Service, well, some months back now, the whole focus of your role is community legal education, working with community members, advising about what legal assistance is available, making sure that our resources are appropriate to be out in the community, and they're easy to understand because legal matters are pretty complex, and it's just putting it in everyday terms that, you know, people like me can understand and get our head around what does that actually mean. These workshops are really just the start of a whole lot more to come, which is great news. So if you want to know any more information about up-and-coming workshops, do keep an eye on our website, www.als.org.au. First one in Wyndham, Wednesday the 12th of June. Second one in Kununurra on the Friday the 14th of June. And for people in Perth, first wet workshop of many, many more in a couple of weeks' time. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we've got a new program starting up where we're going to have seminars once a month in the afternoon just down at the ALS Perth headquarters. This first one It's going to be on the 26th of June, which is a Wednesday, I believe, from 3:30 to 5 p.m. And it's basically an introduction to the ALS and all of the services that we provide, everything from family law to civil law to advocacy to criminal law. And it gives you the opportunity to see some of the faces that work at the ALS and just ask any questions about the type of work that we do and where we do it. So all community members are always welcome. Community organisations that want to get a better understanding of what we do are also welcome. So, just give us a buzz on our number and find out more information there as well.
And it's great to be able to host. It's not only really good for networking, it's just to sort of get together with some other people and have a yarn. But as you say, there's, you know, a lot of changes to our services in the last 40 years. And it's not just providing criminal support and representation. It's civil, family law, advocacy, legal education, media. Court officers are involved on the day, lawyers from the civil unit, a whole lot of stuff. So quite a few of our Aboriginal staff are listed there as well, which is huge. And I think a few unconfirmed people, so we're not going to tell people who they're going to hear from. But over that 2 hours, it is going to be a really good opportunity just to sort of come and mingle and ask questions and listen to, you know, this is why the ALS is here. This is how it can assist you on a personal level, or perhaps if you're from an organisation, how it can assist clients that might be accessing your services. You can better direct them to what we're providing as well.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So please come along. It's going to be a great afternoon. We're going to provide some refreshments and you can be personally introduced to the CEO, Mr. Dennis Eggington, who you heard on the program earlier. And we have a few other big names as well, so that'll be really exciting.
And I know that from workshops we've run in the past, it's great for community members. We're always welcoming in community members to come along and sit in on these sessions, but great for organisations working with our community as well to find out more, hey?
Yeah, it's particularly good for organisations, I think, because often organisations know that the ALS exists, but don't know what kind of space we work in. They don't know who to call. They don't know what units we do. And so it's really good for community organisations to come along and get a better feel, because, you know, we don't always have time to sit down and do one-on-one meetings. And so, yeah, no, I think it'll be particularly useful for community organisations to get a feel for what we do and where we work as well, because as most people know, we're not just a Perth organisation, we're statewide as well, so that's always good to know that information.
Okay, so if you want to know more about the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA and you're in Perth, please do come along to a free information session. Guest speakers from our legal team at the ALS, introduction by ALS CEO Dennis Eggington, who you did hear earlier on the program today, and more than happy to meet with you on that day and you know, let you know about what we can provide. As Betty mentioned, there'll be some afternoon tea there, so if you want to put your name down, get in quick. Call Betty on 089-265-6666 to register your attendance or your organisation coming along, 9265-6666. And once again, keep an eye on our website, www.als.org.au, which will keep you up to date with events as they come to hand, but can definitely assure you there's going to be a whole lot more of this stuff in the coming months, which is great to see. We did say it's your birthday. Happy birthday. First birthday in Western Australia, I'm presuming.
I think so, Jody. Okay. So that's good. I was here when I was a kid, but, you know, I'm pretty sure it's my first birthday and it's very exciting. Everyone's been very nice to me. So, yay, happy birthday to me.
Yay, happy birthday to you. And how long in the gig now?
I've been here since early August. Yep. So almost coming up to my 12 months. I don't even know where the time's gone. It's been ridiculous.
How are you enjoying it?
I love the work that I do. I love being here. I love being able to get out into the community and talk to people. I've learnt so much since coming to the ALS. Dennis was talking earlier about, you know, really connecting with people in the community and gaining a better understanding and appreciation of Aboriginal culture and heritage and history. And I tell you, I've learnt more than I learnt in all of my years of education and all of my years of living in various places in Australia. it's just been incredible.
Beautiful. That's it for Law Matters for another fortnight. I hope you can join us again in a couple of weeks. Until then, Jody Hoffman saying bye for now. Thank you to Betty Campbell and Dennis Eggington joining us on Law Matters today.